I feel that it was most fitting to have this number by this grandson. Certainly, Darrell loved children. He had a terrific impression upon me in my youth. He certainly won the love of my children, and I understand he couldn't help but win the love of his grandchildren. I understand that he knew them all, and certainly they knew and will remember him. We know the value of a tree by the fruit it bears. And when one meets and looks at this fine family, which is from the tree of Darrell Niver and Sophie, certainly we'll have to acknowledge that the fruit thereof is choice. 9 children, all living, all married, all but one of the sons and son-in-laws hold the Melchizedek priesthood, and he holds the Aaronic. It's a marvelous thing. I was happy to learn today that Bruce was just put in the bishopric of his ward. Grant's in the bishopric of his ward. 2 of them hold the office of 70s. It's all evidence, as I see it, that this family were directed by spiritual values. To be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. And surely it must be consoling, Sophie, to see the faithful activity of your marvelous family, your son-in-laws, and your children. I'm going to claim, possibly knowing Sophie longer than anyone in the audience. I'm 54 years old, and I don't know when I didn't know Sophie. I don't remember just when it was, but I never have had anyone in my life that has meant more to me or been more influential than Sophie has done. My mother was a convert to the church from Germany. Sophie was a convert to the church from Switzerland. Some of my mother's people never joined the church, and some of Sophie's people never joined the church. But they were inseparable. And I guess Sophie, in fact I know Sophie, was my mother's dearest friend through all these years. And as a boy, Sophie was in our home. She always appeared to me to be a perfect angel. She dressed beautifully. She was a dressmaker. She was a nurse. She was kind. She was an exemplar of every standard of the church. I remember her bearing her testimony when I was just a little kid sitting in the audience in the old Emerson Ward in Salt Lake City. And oh, I thought she was beautiful. She was so sweet. She was so clean. She was so humble. And she was so gentle in all of her mannerisms and so understanding. Then I remembered her at her farewell before she went on a mission in the Western, I guess they call it in Denver, I don't forgotten. In Colorado, I've forgotten the mission they called it at the time. But I remember the time that she had met Darrell. I remember him being in the Army. She used to not always live in our home because of her work took her away, but our home was her home. And Darrell, Sophie, while I'm saying that, I want you to know that our home is still your home. My mother is now gone, and if I have a second mother, it's Sophie. My children always called her Aunt Sophie because she was so close to my mother, it was always Sophie, but now mother's gone, I guess I can say Mother Sophie. But she used to come to our home, and I remember sending packages, making candy, and things to Darrell while he was in service, encourage him in his duties there and to maintain the standards of the church. They came back after being married in New York and were with us a few days, and then it was many years since I saw her from that time on. They came up to Idaho, and as mentioned, it was time of hardships, and farming wasn't as prosperous, and it was many years since I saw them again. I remember then that my father bought a Rio Flying Cloud touring car. And boy, was it a big thing to plan to come up and see Sophie and the family. We were kids. And I remember Dad was having a hard time in his business. When it came to go, he couldn't go. And he wouldn't give us the money because he felt he needed my brother and I. We had postponed the trip several times, and I said to Mother, I've got the money at home. We're going up to see Sophie. So we went home and got my money, and we came up to see Sophie. And I remember racing with the train. I don't remember now, it was along Bancroft or on up around McCammon. I can't remember exactly, but I know it was a dirt road. And we went the terrific speed of 50 miles an hour racing that train. And I'll tell you, when we got up here on the ranch, I thought I was just about the end of the world. But I never enjoyed anything so much as to stay with them and sleep out on the haystack. Listen to Darrell's stories, and I remember many of them that there's not time to give. But oh, he was a lover, as he's mentioned, of nature. He knew life. He had his philosophy of life. And he certainly understood politics, and he, as was mentioned, was very fair. Well, there's not time where time is well spent. There's much more I would like to say and much more I had prepared to say. But I would like to leave you boys and you girls and all the grandchildren a testimony that I know the gospel's true. I know the things that has buoyed up your mother, given her guidance and direction of which you've been a part of, is her testimony of the gospel. She knows, as she knows anything in the world, that the Lord appeared with his son Jesus Christ to the prophet Joseph Smith and restored the gospel in our dispensation of time. And that if we will follow his commandments, we will seek to do his will as the Savior himself said that at the time the Jews were marveling at how he knew of so many things when he wasn't a man of letter and he wasn't a man who was educated. And Jesus answered them and said, mine doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Certainly we had the same results with the prophet Joseph Smith. He established this church under the guidance and direction of the Lord. And he was an instrument in the hands of God. And I would like to leave this thought in closing. That in understanding life and the purposes thereof, and in understanding the Lord's will, he created the earth with more wisdom than we have as mortal men, and we all need to tap onto his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding for power and strength and understanding and encouragement. And he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Because we don't grow spiritually without the Lord's commandments. We don't grow spiritually without prayer. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. People who are spiritually minded are giants among men. This church is evidence of that type of leadership. We need to jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, and enjoy the fullness of the blessings and the light of the gospel. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. We need to humble ourselves that we might know the will of God and have the understanding that he has. He said that not my thoughts are not your thoughts, that his understanding is not limited as our understanding, which gives us the pattern that we should follow to give us knowledge from the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. May we all seek the Lord for understanding, for strength, for wisdom, that we might take part in the building of his kingdom and be entitled to live with God again in eternal life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.